You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
Says, you know, this guy is probably only good enough to be a number four or number five receiver. And he says, well, in Green Bay, that's still a number two.
That's good enough.
Exactly. He's one
good
of these guys.
Good enough is good enough.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there with that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers going deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio in our 11th season doing this craziness. Your trio of hosts tonight are the relieved Kelly Hodson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the reassured CD Angeli, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Alrighty, let's get to the Packers playbook.
The playbook.
All right, Packer Nation. Oh, reassurance. We're back. The train is back on the tracks, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it was the Houston Texans, but
like there was any chance we were going to lose, really?
Probably not, but it's still nice after that loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get the win and feel like we're back in control, back in first place in the NFC North, guys.
It's a beautiful thing and a great feeling.
The Bears completely fell apart.
aren't we also the number one seed currently?
We are, Al.
Yes, I thought so. Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, everything home field advantage in an empty stadium.
Well, hey guys, cold weather. You know, if we have to face a warm weather team, it will still be an advantage, right? If they have to come up to Green Bay. So,
all right, guys, just cool your jets. There's still a lot of the season left.
What?
You being
this rational? What?
Yeah.
This doesn't compute. Holy cow.
Wow.
All right, let's get into this playbook. First of all, we all knew everything was going to completely fall apart for the Packers. Kelly, you said you thought there was no doubt, but we did not have David Bakhtiari, the number one PFF out of I don't care how many left tackles there are in the NFL. He is out of the game. And we are screwed, correct? Is that what happened?
No.
However, first of all, the Packers, I think, surprised most of us taking option D of A, B, C, and D, and at least according to what everyone else thought, and moving Billy Turner to left tackle, right? Everybody had pretty much looked at either Elgton Jenkins moving out there or Rick Wagner moving out there. But instead, they took Billy Turner, who has played guard, who has filled in at right tackle, and now has actually filled in at left tackle. Not exactly the easiest thing to do in the NFL. And God damn it, he was good. he might have played his best game of the season at left tackle, which is rather amazing.
Yeah, I definitely thought that was going to be the big blind spot for the offensive line this week. You know, whoever we put was going to just have a really tough task of filling back Bakhtiari's shoes. Thank God it wasn't Wagner, because the week before he proved he was out of his league. I was pleasantly surprised by Turner. And like you, Al, I was shocked that they went with him, but it worked.
It did, and they didn't have to give him any help. You know, they didn't need to keep a tight end in or whatnot. He handled whoever's across from him, which for most of the game was Whitney Merciless, but also was J.J. Watt on a bunch of plays, and he handled them all flawlessly. Not even a pressure did he give up.
But can I point out how J.J. Watt looked like somebody kicked all of his puppies, because he looked like the saddest person on the planet this weekend.
Exactly. He is so despondent will be the word that I use.
So I don't know if he was a challenge because he really wanted to win, but was he phoning it in because he was just so frustrated?
I think you, yeah, the frustration was palpable. And as you said, you saw it on his face. As soon as the Packers went up 14-0, I think that was it for him.
It's like, honey, get on the plane. There's room for you. You're a cheesehead. You can fit in at least halfway. We won't notice you until about halfway home.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reality is then, if we were to trade and get J.J. Watt, the opposing team would only need a left tackle as good as Billy Turner or better, and he would be completely negated anyway. So we really shouldn't trade for J.J. Watt.
Only if J.J. Watt wasn't interested in playing like he was this game. But I actually agree with you that we should not trade for J.J. Watt at all.
That's what I've been saying all along.
Oh, me too.
His time
is come and gone.
I'm an insufferable homer. If he was like on the free agency for cheap, Wisconsin. I might not say no.
Shut up.
Hey, guys, I am the voice
of
reason.
Let's pretend he's still 24 years old.
No, he's not. He's like 108. And he's had like every part of his body reconstructed. So, yeah.
Let's pretend he hasn't missed 8 games a season over the last 4 years on average.
You're being mean.
I'm sorry. You don't have to tell me. I did on my own.
I know.
Look, you guys, I'm usually the voice of reason. It's like anybody comes up, it's like Antonio Brown.
No.
I will just say no to just about everybody, okay?
Well, you can't let that emotion get in there, that Wisconsin emotion.
Well, I pointed out he is 108, and he's like the $6 million man on with parts that don't work,
It's kind of the COVID affecting all of us in Wisconsin.
That should be enough to convince you that you shouldn't want them to trade for J.J. Watt. But, you know, one thing I am curious about is what do you have to give up for J.J. Watt? I don't want the Packers to find out.
$50 in a case of good beer. He's like, not worth much anymore. He just is a great big boat anchor to anybody's salary cap.
And yet you wanted him on the Packers.
Okay, I'm like half joking, okay? It's like, I kind of like him, but you know what? How are we going to pay him? We can't.
That wall came down awfully quick, didn't it, Al?
It sure did.
I don't think she was putting any concrete between the bricks.
No, I was not. I'll totally admit it. It's like, hey, if he showed up, I wouldn't say no, but how are we going to pay for him? Because he's a giant boat anchor on anybody's salary cap.
All right. Miss Voice of Reason.
Enough, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, since you're so reasonable.
Reasonable.
Now let's talk a little bit about Bakhtiari, because he is in this contract year. The Packers don't have a ton of money. Do you think Billy Turner is now, after this one episode, good enough that we can say, hey, see you later, Bakhtiari. We need to get some cap room open this year.
Well, if it's a contract year and he's hurt and he doesn't play a significant part of the year, his price may come down, though.
Doubtful.
I'm trying to be optimistic here. Yeah, that's a good question, because he really is good, and he really does contribute to Rodgers' success. Case in point, look at Wagner a week ago, and Rodgers was on his back most of the game. But he is an enormous salary cap. I don't know. I could go either way on this. Yeah, Turner, it's only one game. What's he like against other teams with a stouter defense? That's the big question. Now, if he can prove himself throughout the rest of the season, because we don't know how long Bakhtiari is going to be out, yeah, then maybe. But more likely, maybe as a placeholder until we could draft another left tackle.
Well, we're sure not going to find out if we play a stouter defense next Sunday.
No, we won't.
So he may have another Pro Bowl game next week, no matter what.
One could hope.
Well, let's move on to the guy playing behind Billy Turner, and his name is Aaron Charles Rodgers. Obviously, he was completely falling apart after that game against the Buccaneers. Kind of bounced back. Didn't do too badly, did he?
It was his second best game of the season.
4 touchdowns, and maybe rumors of his demise were slightly exaggerated.
Sorry, you're probably waiting for me to say something.
Well, somebody.
Anybody.
I mean, I could sit here and talk to myself the entire rest of the podcast, but
sorry, I was trying to.
Supposed to be like this, you know, three-way thing we do.
I was trying to check your math here. You had Rodgers 23 out of 43. It's a 67%.
It might be 34. I might have typed it wrong.
Yeah, because
the 67% is real. The 67%
math is
real.
Not Kelly Strong's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it should be.
They said there would be no math.
He was 34 out of 43.
Whatever. Yeah, that's probably right.
probably.
The 67.7% is correct.
Notice I skipped over the percentage and went right to the touchdown.
Yeah. I was typing it fast. It's a typo. It's not a math error. Okay.
All right.
Big difference.
Anyway, one thing I will say is that I meant to write about this in my Wednesday post, but I had so many other topics, I just didn't. But when I rewatched the game, one thing I did was tallying how many times Rodgers threw behind receivers. And I counted 7 times where you could, very simply say that if the pass had been another yard or whatever in front, that receiver would have had plenty of room to run for additional yardage. Some of those behind passes were caught, a couple were not. So despite the percentage, despite the TDs, he wasn't pinpoint accurate like we've seen him earlier in the season, is all I'll say.
Okay, to defend Rodgers, one of those bad passes was MVS, and I'm absolutely convinced he didn't run a clean route. I think that one was on him.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh, gosh.
The out pass that went off his hands?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that wasn't behind him, though. So that wasn't part of the
set. I'm thinking one of those was MVS. MVS, so I'm going to segue just briefly into MVS. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Janis. There's a lot of speed, but no accuracy.
I was watching just a couple. I don't know if it was on Twitter, and I don't know if it was, obviously there's a lot of personalities on Packers Twitter that will analyze some of the game tape or maybe NFL. It was really funny because I saw one outlet showing some nice slow motion Aaron Rodgers and really pointing out in that game against Tampa Bay how he was kind of flat-footed, throwing the ball, leaning backwards, and throwing the ball, and obviously there was both the interceptions that he threw. And then the next week, they show slow motions. Look at this Aaron Rodgers. He's got both his feet set, and look how far he throws the ball right on target. And I'm like, okay, we're determining that maybe he's not really having good footwork, which is funny because that was always the criticism of Brett Favre. And early in his career was one of the things that he was a focus that, not that he was trying to be necessarily the anti-Favre, but he was going to be the mechanically precise passer. And now suddenly we're looking at this 2020 season and 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers and throwing off his back foot just like his predecessor.
Oh, his mechanics against Tampa was absolutely awful.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, having a bunch of guys in your face will do that to you.
Yeah, it will. Because he had like a half a second in the pocket before he clobbered. It's like, 1, 2, 3, throw it.
In his defense, there weren't opportunities to really step up in the pocket and plant his back foot properly. So I give him a pass on that game because the offensive line was just a disaster in terms of picking up blitzes that game. But this last game, really, he had plenty of time, and he was doing that still. So the pass to Tanyan was one definite example where he was on his back foot, and had he, stepped in properly, he would have led him better. And who knows, Tanyan goes for another 20, 30 yards or whatever. But in any case.
Well, speaking of those receivers.
Receivers.
Davante Adams returns. I think I mentioned on Twitter, I've forgiven him for everything negative I've said about him because obviously 13 receptions.
I forgive you. I absolve.
Like 200 yards. Davante, I know you were really worried about it. I'm sorry for ripping on you as much as I did.
He had a Sterling Sharp type of day. It was off the charts.
And, I did make that point earlier this season. I said he's one of about 5 receivers I've witnessed in my lifetime who really is otherworldly, who is a receiver and go against world-class athletes, and he does amazing things. The only problem is, suddenly, our other wide receivers are regressing. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, what do you guys think there?
Yeah, I was hoping for a bounce back after his sophomore slump, but he just is not impressing me. Like I just said a few minutes ago, he reminds me a lot of Jeff Janis. Has a lot of speed right off the line, but he runs really smudgy routes where a lot of times he's within smudgy. Let me define smudgy.
In terms of route running.
Like stopping on a dime where you're supposed to be, or you can be within 2 to 3, like playing horseshoes with it, 2 to 3 yards off the where it's actually supposed to go.
Horseshoes.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't follow your Similes or metaphors.
Okay, so if you have to like stop in a specific spot on your route, he's not there. He's a lot like Janice that way. He's in the area, which leads to a lot of mismatches. You know, Roger. That's when you say seeing Roger's frustrated. Was it on Roger's? Maybe, but I think a lot of times it's on Janice not being where he's supposed to be.
What actually scares me, Al, is I actually understand what she's saying.
You understood all that.
He has known me long enough that he is fluent in Kelly.
Have to use nearly as many words as she did to explain it to me, but
I
did
understand. He was in the wrong place. Is that better?
I get it. The horseshoes thing is what threw me, but I get it now. I get
old enough to know how to play horseshoes. Come on, my grandpa played horseshoes.
It's not a big sport. Take that, Al. It's not a big sport in New Jersey, I got to tell you, horseshoes. But in any case.
Okay, long story short, if you're in the area, you get points, okay?
Yes, I got it. The thing about MVS is when you're on the field for 51 snaps and you get zeros, that's not good.
It's like zeros. He was like had an F minus minus. He's on double secret probation.
51 snaps he was in for.
And he was useless.
82% of the offensive snaps. And he had zero contribution, but we did see him blocking nicely a few times. So he did contribute in that way. But, you know, as your number two wide receiver for the game, you can't be shut out. You just can't be shut out.
No, and because if you get shut out, subsequent defenses are going to be like, why draw coverage? Why was he even going to draw coverage? Because Rodgers isn't going to trust him.
Right.
At least catch him once in a while so that defense feel obligated to cover you.
And speaking of big goose eggs, Equanimeous St. Brown.
Yeah.
EQSB.
Call him, yes. I don't know what he had for stats. Maybe you have him in front of you there, Al, but I saw him on the field.
That was all I saw, too. I don't even know if he caught anything.
I would see a close-up on the huddle, and I would see St. Brown on the back of a jersey says, hey, I know that guy. And
he was, like, really good two years ago.
Let me stop you before you go too far, because he was on the field for three plays.
Right.
And he didn't do anything on any of them.
He did play special teams. He did
get nine special teams snaps.
So maybe you saw him in the huddle on punts or whatever. That's probably what those were. Yeah, those were probably punts.
Yeah.
Is where he got his snaps on special teams. You're probably right there.
Yeah, because there was that one punt where they dropped it really close, like to the parking lot, and he was there gunner on that play.
Yeah, correct.
But here's a guy that we're looking at and saying, okay, not that I'm agreeing with the people, but we didn't draft a wide receiver in April. Because we feel good about the guys we have, and here's St. Brown coming off injury and really not contributing at this point. And I remember someone said, well, he's probably still, coming off that year of injury. I'm like, it's game six. You got to be ready to go at this point. And when you're looking at a team with just Devontae Adams, my God, Malik Taylor now appears suddenly to be Aaron Rodgers' favorite guy, which what does that say for MVS and ESB? See you later, guys.
Let me defend ESB just a little bit. I've always thought special teams was the not quite ready for primetime players and where you kind of prove yourself to actually move up. Case in point, Swervin Irvin started as a kick returner and suddenly he got worked into the offense. I think they're slowly seeing what ESB, whatever you want to call him, is going to do, and he didn't look too bad on special teams, and I wouldn't be surprised as MVS fades that EQSB starts getting more of his offensive snaps. I think they're just slowly integrating him back into play.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like play JV for a while, and then you get to go to varsity.
Yeah, but three snaps, and I think that's about what he had the previous game. So they're not showing a lot of confidence in him. I'll say that.
But they have confidence in MVS. That just blows my mind.
Well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one on you. Devontae Adams with 13 catches, Malik Taylor with two, and those were the only receptions by wide receivers the entire game.
The
Packers win 35-20. So how do we make sense of all this?
I wish we had more wide receivers coming up in the next couple games. Can you think of some guys that we might be getting back or might be added to the roster?
But hey, did you hear the news today or was it yesterday? Alan Lazard might return to practice next week, so it doesn't sound like he had that bad of an injury.
You were saying 6 weeks, weren't you, at one point?
I was guessing 6 weeks, because I thought he was going to have surgery.
This is Dr. Doom over there, let me tell you.
Well, it could be the end of the year. It could be full season.
I'm not a miracle worker, Captain.
Did he have surgery or not? Okay, it doesn't sound like he did because they're bringing him back.
If he had surgery,
I'd say 6 weeks, but it doesn't sound like he did because, hey, they're talking about bringing him back, which it doesn't happen until it really happens, but it's encouraging that they're thinking about slowly bringing him back.
The fact that he's on the field is a wonderful thing, right? Will they activate him for this week? I think we'd probably all be very surprised if he was ready to do that.
Well, they said practice next week, so I doubt he'll be in this week.
He was back today.
Oh, shut up. Really?
They showed him on the field running drills. I saw a video today of him running drills.
If he plays this week, I would suspect it'd be low snap count.
I don't think he'll play. It would be my guess. But they're probably shooting. Let's see. The following week, it's a Thursday game, right, against the 49ers. They're probably shooting for the 49ers, I'll bet.
Yeah, they're going to need him.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank goodness, since we have kind of an anemic receiver core right now, at least our tight ends are stepping up.
Yeah.
And here's my apology.
Sternberger,
I thought you had like oven mitts for hands and cinder blocks for shoes earlier in the season, and I was wrong. I am sorry.
Well, the Packers did make a move of sorts.
Maybe. You're not impressed?
You are not impressed by my move.
You're not well, Seth Roberts, wide receiver, formerly of the Carolina Panthers and about five or six other NFL teams. Signed to the Packers, probably going to be placed on the practice squad to start, but does bring, I guess, a little bit of an element in what was kind of a crowded field in Carolina. Now comes here, and I think a conversation I had with a friend of mine on Twitter says, you know, this guy is probably only good enough to be a number four or number five receiver. And he says, well, in Green Bay, that's still a number two.
That's good enough.
Good enough is good enough. If you play fantasy ball, he's like at the end, it's like, who are these guys I got to pick up now?
Well, he hasn't gotten any opportunities this year. Carolina hasn't used them, and for whatever reason, and that's why they decided to, you know, to let him go. But in the past, you know, he has had some good years for the Oakland Raiders. He had 1 year where he was second in the league and causing missed tackles was the stat after catch. The only one in front of him was Odell Beckham Jr. He's been in the slot. He's got good hands. He's a yards after catch guy. You know, does he still have all the skills? We don't really know because we didn't see much of it in Carolina. And the Ravens went against went against form and actually used him as a wide receiver, as a wideout, the 1 year that he was with the Ravens. And, you know, he played every game. He played a lot, but it was never once. Well, I won't say never once in the slot, but primarily not from the slot, which is where he has made his living. So the Packers undoubtedly, I think, are looking to him as a slot receiver. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if he'll be ready for this week. He's on the practice squad. I know you have to sit out now. What is it, 6 days or something when you pick somebody up from another team because of COVID?
So it's kind of a half-assed quarantine is what we're saying.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly.
It's almost half of a 14-day one. Yeah, it's a half-assed quarantine.
Right. So, you know, they got an insurance policy here in case they want to use it. And supposedly, you know, Goody is still looking around, so we'll see what happens.
Speaking of seeing what happens, I think there are some encouragement. There's a young linebacker many of us were excited about, Kamal Martin,
who was
injured for a little while. Came into the game. I wouldn't say he was A+, ready to step in Pro Bowl level quite yet, but I think for a first game, we saw a lot of promise. And when we're talking inside linebacker, any type of promise right now is pretty much the best we can get.
So it's not like lowered expectations or what, but actually he didn't have that bad of a game. I'm looking at his stats right now. He played 29 defensive snaps and he had 6 second half tackles, including one for a loss. So he really did contribute the second half of the game this week.
Yeah, I think you're actually downplaying how well he played, because I thought he played extremely well. And it wasn't so much what you saw from him, but a lot of times is what you heard. You heard smacking shoulder pads when he made a tackle. And that's a nice thing to hear on a football game from your linebackers, for sure. So the guy's a hitter. He made a couple of real nice reads where he darted through gaps in the line and made a tackle for a loss or close to the line of scrimmage. He definitely thought he made a good first impression.
And he is a former quarterback.
What? Who isn't a former quarterback?
So if they get like a UW Wisconsin University of Wisconsin situation where we're looking at QB4 having to play before you call the season, he'd be our quarterback.
It could be.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's kind of interesting because he started the game at the Will linebacker spot. Barnes went down with the injury, so Martin ended up kind of stepping in and was kind of calling the plays. And just the commentary that he was using a little bit of his quarterback of the defense skills, that mental awareness and seeing how things were playing out really helped him on the mental side of the game as well as the physical side.
I was reading an article. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say somebody tweeted out a list. The Packers evidently have like at least 10 players on their roster who used to play quarterback at some point. And, you know, at all weird positions that you wouldn't expect, you know. So it's a thing. You know, if you were played a quarterback, you were a good athlete. And, you know, if you weren't good enough to be a quarterback at this level, you found something else you could do and go from there.
Well, he was the player on the rise for Packers.com this week. And what I think that what CD hit on this, and this is something that the article at the Packers website commented on, that he was an every down communicator the entire time he was on the field. So he, I think, has the potential to become a leader, to be that message relayer, you know, to everyone else. Like you said, he was calling plays like a quarterback out there. So yeah, every kid wants to be a quarterback when they grow up, it seems like. And you said we got half the team played quarterback at one time, but those who did play quarterback definitely have a different type of skill set, you know, both in communication and leadership skills. And I can see this guy really becoming an impact player because of that leadership. You know, he's a rookie now. Let's see what he does in a couple of years. He may be the guy that he's the go-to linebacker.
We can only hope.
And it's been one game. So anyway, moving on.
Yep.
So what? Hey, after years of mediocrity in the linebacker position, I'm willing to take a flash of hope, okay?
That's what I said. I said a little bit of hope at inside linebacker is all we have. The Packers have been bringing in kickers on the regular pretty much during the preseason, if you can call it that, and during the regular season. In fact, 7 kickers have been brought in this year.
7
kickers.
I can name like 2. Wow.
I can name all 7.
No, you can't.
I can't.
No, you can't.
He's got them written down, though. He's going to cheat.
I want to hear him.
You want to hear him? I was going to say that what they ended up sounding like a little bit is rejected names from Friends, like Friends characters. Let's not go with this. So you ready? Casey Bednarski, Chris Blewett, Ramin Ahmed.
By the way, Chandler, Chris Blewett, the perfect Blewett, name for a kicker.
Chandler Bing.
Go ahead.
Chandler Catanzaro, Giorgio Tavecchio.
Tavecchio was back?
And Josh Gable. Yes.
What was the last one?
Josh Gable. Those are the 6 they brought in, but the 7th they brought in.
7
is rookie Nick Vogel.
Okay.
And as it turns out, this guy might stick around for a little bit because Mason Crosby was listed on the injury report, did not participate in practice on Wednesday. Left calf back injuries, not quite sure what it is. Obviously, it's
but those two are connected, obviously.
I would imagine.
The calf bones connected to the back. Well, what? No.
So possibility that this might be paying off, but
bring back Giorgio. Come on.
I would love to see Giorgio back.
Bring back Giorgio.
All of you. I want to bring back Gaglione from Wisconsin, the little portly Brazilian that could like bang it through from 60 yards.
And where is he now?
Back in Brazil.
There you go.
Well, you know, Al, we got 2 Italians there, you know, Catanzaro and Tavecchio there. So I'm hoping one of them.
What kind of name is that? Captain.
Catanzaro.
Thank you. All right. You're saying it wrong. Captain.
Sorry, mister. Captain. I pronounce all Italian words correctly.
Oh, God.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
So let's move on a little bit, talk a little bit about some stuff going on in the NFC North before we get to our hot pockets. Interesting with the Vikings now 1-win team. We're going to be facing our second one-win team 2 weeks in a row, but obviously the Vikings, we just really kind of relish that one-win status a lot more because they're the Vikings. But interesting enough, in our first meeting up, if you remember, Danielle Hunter was injured, and we kept talking about, I remember I had trouble trying to pronounce his name, Yannick Ngakoue, is that right?
That sounds...
Yeah. Is supposed to be the other big bookend. Basically, it's their version of the Smith brothers, was Ngakoue and Hunter. Hunter didn't play.
It's not like they're always trying to copy us, right?
Yes.
Anyway. That's because they always look in our dumpster for lovers.
Exactly. Well, interestingly enough, as we approach the Vikings game this coming week, Hunter has now been ruled out for the entire season, neck injury. And Ngakoue was actually traded away to the Ravens. So their vaunted defensive rushers are no more, at least for this season.
And in typical Vikings fashion, they got back less of a pick than they gave up for him only X number of weeks ago.
Here's my shocked face on that business. How much did they pay for Kirk Cousins?
Don't we love it? Don't we love it?
We got shellacked 2 weeks ago by Tampa Bay, and it's like, things could be worse. We could be the Vikings.
Oh, things could be a lot worse.
Certainly.
So we could be the lot worse, one win, 1-5 Minnesota Vikings, but let's talk about these 5-2 Chicago Bears. This is presently our only competition in the NFC North, and they looked absolutely miserable against the Rams. Absolutely miserable. We have to wait. We're already playing the Minnesota Vikings for the second time. We haven't even played the Bears yet. We got to wait till what, week 11 for the first game against the Bears, and then we play them in the finale.
So we'll probably be facing Napoleon Dynamite as their quarterback, or are they going to change again?
At this point, I have no idea, but it's kind of nice to have another NFC team to say, is this the worst 5-2 team in NFL history? That's what we said about the Packers last year. So it's kind of nice to see the shoe on the other foot.
Some of their wins are against bad teams, right? Like the Giants and the Falcons. They lost to the Colts. They have a win where they actually beat the Buccaneers by 1 point, 20-19.
I did see that. I was actually looking that up prior to the show tonight. It says, oh, man, they beat
every
the
dog right. has its day, though, guys.
I'd forgotten about
that. You
can
be a crappy
that.
Team and beat a good team, and I think that's what happened against Tampa.
Yeah.
But that was not the team we saw on Sunday. Wow, did they stink.
Yeah, not close, right. Not even close. So which is my point that I was about to make was, so which is the real Bears team, right? Is it the team that's looked awful against the Rams, or is the team that beat the Buccaneers who destroyed us?
I think their offense is stout. I think their defense is kind of like ours. It's hit or miss.
Well, luckily we have. I think that's one reason why it's good that we don't have to play them until week 11, because by then I think we'll have a better handle on who that team is. Right now, I couldn't tell you who that team is, what to believe and what not to believe.
So has Trubisky been like permabenched or what?
Yeah, yeah. I think Nagy even said after the game when someone asked that, no, Foles is a starter.
Because that changes things, because now you've got a quarterback with a little more confidence.
Yeah.
And a lot more skill. I'll give him that.
I don't know about that.
Well, he's better than Trubisky.
I wouldn't say a lot more. Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot more. Yeah. But he's definitely better than Trubisky, which makes me sad because I really enjoyed making fun of Trubisky when he was in there.
Well, Kirk Cousins is now the new Jay Cutler of the NFC North. About it. So we can at least make fun of
him. That's a wonderful development. Yeah, he just needs to start throwing more interceptions to the Packers. That's all.
Three isn't enough in a game?
Just to complete it. Well, you know, he's got to prove it beyond that.
Nick Foles, I watch him play, and he reminds me, just to give you
a
Packer. No, but just to give you a Packer, I guess, relationship, he reminds me of like a Matt Flynn or maybe even like a Ty Detmer. He's this guy who doesn't appear to have a ton of real athletic skill or B, even a particularly powerful arm. But you put him in a game and under the right circumstances, he gets things done. So he does bring a level of threat if it's one of his on days. But yeah, you know, just like Ty and Matt, they can definitely have their off days as well. All right, guys, we've reached the end of the playbook, and now it's time for our Hot Pockets. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in the show where each of us get a final moment to get up on our soapbox and tell you all what's on our mind here today with the Green Bay Packers. This is our Hot Pockets. Jersey, Al, Bracco, we will start with you.
Okay, so things look pretty bleak in the injury department going into the game with Houston. In addition to the three starters sitting on injured reserve, four key starters were also out. David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, Kevin King, and Darnell Savage all watched the game from the sideline. But guess what? It didn't matter. The Packers reserve stepped in where needed, and there was little drop-off. Billy Turner playing left tackle and not giving up a pressure. Jamal Williams making us forget about Aaron Jones for a day. Will Redmond playing the entire game at safety for Darnell Savage. Even guys you may have forgotten were on the roster like Henry Black and Vernon Scott getting a chance and making some impactful plays. These things don't happen by accident. They occur because the Packers have a GM that is relentless and works at improving the roster every day. Clueless Packer fans that criticize him for not signing every big money free agent, despite the lack of salary cap space to do so, should just shut up. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Just shut up. Yes. Your daily words of wisdom from Jersey Al Bracco.
Life advice in three words. Just shut up.
Very Jersey of you.
Exactly.
Hey, Dexter Williams. Just fall on the ball, okay? Don't try and be a hero. Hey, Chandon Sullivan. Let's not jump 50 feet in the air as high as possible to chase a pump fake, okay? The Packers got a great get better soon game against the Houston Texans, a team that seems to have a ton of talent, but it just doesn't add up to the sum of its parts when it gets on field. That, my friends, is the definition of synergy. Having the teamwork on the field adding up to more than the sum of its parts. Last week, the Packers danced around that definition, sometimes creating amazing plays both on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball. But then they would crumble with just these silly mental errors that allowed the Houston Texans undeservingly to get back in the game at times. A lot of this comes from having very young, very inexperienced, and sometimes lesser talents forced onto the field due to injury indeed. But in the end, if the Packers want to make it past the NFC bracket of the playoffs, they're going to have to be a team that is more than the sum of its parts. Silly plays like that of Williams and Sullivan are just unforced errors that take the air out of the sail that needs to be at full when we take on teams that we aren't expected to beat. Physical mistakes will always happen and are part of the game, but if Matt LaFleur's Packers are going to take it to the next level in 2020, the mental mistakes need to stop. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
And just like that, we're nearly halfway through this season. To be honest, I didn't think we'd make it this far. After all, Big Ten football just took a nosedive today. The Wisconsin-Nebraska game was called off because of a COVID outbreak among the Badgers. But yet, the NFL is still chugging away. Some teams are handling precautions better than others. So, knock on wood, the Packers have been relatively unscathed. But Northeast Wisconsin is currently one of the epicenters of COVID in the entire country. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. All it would take is one person in a practice or in a team meeting, and the team would go down like the Titans. 2020 has been one heck of a poopy-flavored lollipop, and right now, all I know is that 3 hours of Packer football is each week is a wonderful respite for others, not just me, from all the stresses of this new normal. But we've made it through 2 months of the season, and the team actually looks pretty good. So good that if they iron out all the kinks on defense, this could be one of the most complete teams since 2010. So put them in a bubble, sequester them on Washington Island or something. Anything, because I don't want COVID to grenade what is looking to be one heck of a season after many in mediocrity. This may be their year, and the last thing I want is some stupid pandemic to be the reason the team falls like a house of cards. Be safe out there, everyone. And that is my
Hot Pockets.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer game predictions.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The Packers take all of this momentum back to Lambeau Field this Sunday. Everything feels right. It's a noon kickoff. It's an autumn day and a full state. Well, maybe not a full stadium, but we are playing against the team that gave us the purple sombrero incident. So the Packers start out as 6.5-point favorites at home. But how do you see this going? Kelly, we'll start with you.
Didn't we just play the Vikings? Oh, that's right. We shellacked them. And I'm laughing in schadenfreude every time I watch replays. And as I asked earlier, how much did they pay Kirk Cousins to be the next Jay Cutler? It doesn't matter because he still stinks and their salary cap is soaked up with his awfulness. This is a home game. The Packers have got their groove back and it's going to be ugly. Packers 35, Vikings 10.
Before the season, I predicted a precipitous fall from grace for the Vikings defense, specifically because of the number of starters they lost to free agency and replaced with draft picks. On the other side of the ball, they traded away Stephon Diggs and some guy named Kirk Cousins is still their quarterback. Somehow, a slew of professional pundits seem to ignore all this and pick the Vikings to win the NFC North. Well, guess what? The Vikings are 1-5 and have given up an average of 33 points over their first six games. They've played a few teams close, but this week they will revert to form as the Packers will vanquish the Vikings by a score of 38-21.
Wow. Well, that's two people picking the Packers. I wonder what I'm going to do.
He's going to pick the Vikings because that's what CD always does.
Always.
No, he could not possibly. No.
He did last time.
This is true.
Oh, thanks for reminding us of that fact, Kelly. I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
CD
proceed.
He always does that. All right.
Proceed. Well,
because he totally did.
The Packers beat the team they're supposed to beat. This is a sign of a good football team that's destined for the playoffs. And the Vikings team, it's just coming apart at the seams. Frankly, coming off a bye week has actually been more detrimental for NFL teams this season in 2020 than not. So everything's really going against the Vikings here. The Vikings will put up a fight because they're going to see this probably as their last gasp or their Super Bowl or whatever. But in the end, Aaron Rodgers and company will be too much for them. Green Bay Packers, 38. Minnesota Vikings, 17.
Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 11th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go.
Good night, all. Go Pack.
Go Pack.
Cheesehead Radio.
Damn.
And one time before we checked to make sure, how would you change it to this time? Pickled peppers, yes.
Come on.
You always be mean here, Kelly. I always try to be nice to you.
Several
I
unique
always try to be
peppers.
Nice to you.
Maybe I'll just say pickled peppers for you buttheads.
That would be cool.